bring in a guest now to talk a little bit more about that news that we had gotten earlier this morning. For that, we go to Danielle DiMartino Booth of Quill Intelligence and a former Fed staffer, I should add, as well. Danielle, thanks for hopping on, especially on short notice here on this very busy Monday. Danielle, just want to just ask for your broad takeaways here. Jay Powell at the top of the Fed here and Lael Brainard in the second top job is the announcement there. Were you surprised by the announcement that we got this morning?
Well, I think no, I wasn't surprised at all. And I've been saying for a very long time that as much as Biden might have wanted to nominate Lael Brainard to placate the progressives, she would not have been confirmable. In fact, I think the real plot twist, if you will, from this morning is that she was not named to be vice chair of supervision and regulation, replacing Rich Clarida. So that crucial position remains open, and we know that Clarida is going to retire early and leave by the end of this year. So the plot, the intrigue, everything continues at the Fed. And in fact, there are some moderate Democratic senators who might not even be willing to vote for her for this vice chair position in which she won't have a direct effect on the banks because she has been outwardly political. We recall that in 2016, Lael Brainard openly contributed to Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. So there are still some reservations, I would say, among your moderate Democrats. And I don't think that Brainard's being confirmed as vice chair is necessarily a done deal.
Now, this is very interesting because the politics, as you mentioned, are going to be very important here. But it's really interesting to see how both of these individuals have faced Senate confirmation before, right? Both Powell and Brainard were part of that round of Fed nominations in the Obama administration in 2014. They both got overwhelming support in the Senate. So to the point that you were making earlier, is there any reason to suggest that it will be more difficult for them to get through a Senate that they're already used to facing in the past?
Well, I don't think that there's going to be, I mean, you might have a handful of people who are not going to vote for Powell. I think that I think you're asking two completely separate discussions. I think Powell's nomination and vote is going to go fine. He'll breeze right through it. He's been very conversant, very communicative with all of the members of the Senate. He's been up on the Hill a lot. He's an extremely active Fed chair. Excuse me. So I really don't think that we have to worry about Powell being reconfirmed. The same cannot be said for Brainard. You're putting up on the screen right now 61 to 31. Again, I'm not so sure that she can even get 50 among the Democrats. They have said, the moderate Democrats have said, we want to meet with Brainard. And they're going to have to learn a little bit more about some of her views that she has expressed after having been confirmed in 2014. She leans towards what appears to be socialism, and I think that bothers a lot of the moderate Democrats.
And it's interesting you point that out, although it's kind of an argument maybe in favor of her getting well more than 50 votes because maybe the fears on the GOP side of things will be assuaged in the fact that she won't be pointed for the top job, but rather the Fed vice chair job, which also isn't even the supervision role. But I just want to speak to the broad kind of macro economy here. I mean, we're talking about inflation, right? People aren't necessarily dialed into the overall intrigue or the musical chairs going on here at the Fed. What do you expect to be the inflationary consequences with these high prints that we're getting from a Powell and Brainard-led Fed?
Well, I think what you have to bear in mind is that Jay Powell's new job is different than his old job. And he's facing much higher inflation than he was before. The pressure to expedite the tapering is going to be immense, especially as we head into this holiday season. And we're actually starting to see things like shipping rates come off their highs. We're starting to see companies rebuild their inventories. We're starting to see signs that 2022 might see inflation start to abate. But as far as going back to that 2% level, I doubt it. So this new leadership, if you will, and we don't know who's going to replace Clarida, but the four most important people on that board will be Jay Powell, Lael Brainard, if she is confirmed, whoever replaces Clarida, and whoever replaces Randy Quarles. So as well as John Williams from the New York Fed. But you could theoretically have a lot of pressure because inflation is being persistently high. And it looks like it's going to sustain itself into the first quarter, at least of 2022. You could see a lot of pressure to expedite this taper and get onto the business of raising interest rates.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's an interesting point that you bring up about the Fed presidents as well, because there's going to be replacements for the Dallas and the Boston Fed. I'm not sure about the New York Fed, about that term. I don't know when that term expires, but broadly, there's going to be a lot of opportunity to change the structure there. Sorry, what was that?
Brian, that's a very good point. And we don't know who's going to be in charge of Boston. We don't know who's going to be in charge of Dallas. Dallas, where I live, where I am right now, the Dallas Federal Reserve Board tends to lean towards hawkish appointees. We know that, even though the Dallas Federal Reserve, whoever that president is, does not vote until 2022. That makes Boston a much more important Fed right now because Boston does vote in 2022. And then there's the Bullard. Waller combination as well. Christopher Waller is the Federal Reserve Board governor, and he has said that the tapering needs to be expedited. We have not seen a Federal Reserve governor dissent since 2005. So, but I think that when looking out to 2022, we need to be cognizant of the fact that Waller has said we really don't shouldn't be in the business of mortgage-backed securities tapering because housing has had plenty enough help. So I think the pressure from within, and to your point, the Boston Fed that's going to be voting. To your point, also, we've got another hawkish member coming onto voting rotation in 2022. I think that the potential for multiple dissents, which Powell's not accustomed to, that's why I'm saying his new day job is nothing like his old day job. He has the potential for double and triple dissents if he digs his heels in and refuses to expedite this taper in the face of a midterm election season when politicians are screaming that inflation is too high and the Fed needs to do something about it.
Yep. And that conversation could certainly heat up as soon as in the next few weeks when the Fed has its mid-December FOMC meeting. It's interesting to see all the musical chairs going on here. It's like dizzying. It's like trying to keep track of the members of Fleetwood Mac. But Danielle DiMartino Booth of Quill Intelligence.
So you're running this special with good reason.
Hey, thanks so much for stopping by.